Everybody knows heartbreak, isolation. Ooh, ooh, ooh. But we can lay our burdens down. Lay our burdens down. What a friend we have in Jesus. East to west, my sins are gone. I see grace on every horizon. And forever and ever, his heart is my home. Oh, 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 oh. Everybody has fears. Everybody got worries. Everybody knows sorrow, devastation. Ooh, ooh, ooh. But we can lay our burdens down. Lay our burdens down. What a friend we have in Jesus. East to west, my sins are gone. I see grace on every horizon. His heart is my home. Forever and ever, his heart is my home. No more betrayal, for he is faithful. He fills me up and my cup runneth over. No more betrayal, for he is faithful. How he has proven it over and over. No more betrayal, for he is faithful. He fills me up and my cup runneth over. No more betrayal, for he is faithful. How he has proven it over and over. Over and over, what a friend we have in Jesus. East to west, my sins are gone. I see grace on every horizon. And forever and ever, his heart is my home. What a friend we have in Jesus. East to west, my sins are gone. I see grace on every horizon. And forever and ever, his heart is my home. Forever and ever, his heart is my home.
Amen. We have a good friend in Jesus, don't we? Well, hey, welcome to Cornerstone. This morning we have more guests than regular attenders. So we've got my friend Evan here today, and he is a rock star. Apparently he's brought more people to this church than anybody else I know. So welcome, Evan. This is his second time joining us as a special guest musician. It's good to jam with him sometimes. He goes to Oasis, I go to Oasis, so that's how we know each other pretty much. But anyway, we're going to have a good time today. We have a good friend, and that's encouraging. We're going to share what God's doing in our lives. So live stream people, thank you guys for joining us too. But those of you who traveled from distances like Vermont, I have a new friend from Vermont who's here today. Like, that's really exciting to me. But anyway, yeah, we're gonna have a good time and just be encouraging what God is up to. So if you want to sit and listen to what God is up to, or if you want to share what God is up to, we're going to open up the mic later on. So if God's Spirit is prompting you to say something, you're welcome to do that. And if not, just be encouraged in what you hear other people share. So we're going to continue and remind ourselves and praise God that he is still on the move.
Anytime our heart turns from darkness to light, anytime temptation comes and someone stands to fight, anytime somebody lives to serve and not be served, I know, I know, I know, I know, God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. Anytime in weakness someone falls upon their knees, or dares to speak the truth that sets men free. Anytime the choice is made to stand upon the word, I know, I know, I know, I know.
God is on the move, on the move. Hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, on the move. Hallelujah. God is on the move today.
A generation standing on the truth. In each and every nation, God is on the move. Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know, I know, I know, I know.
God is on the move, on the move. Hallelujah. God is on the move. On the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today.
Standing on the truth. In each and every nation, God is on the move.
Amen. Let's lift our voices in prayer. God, we come before you because you are a mighty God, and you are on the move. You are working in people's lives every day, every moment. And the way that you can do that, the way you can work in so many different lives all at the same time, God, you're God and we're not. And you're great. Far greater than we are. So that's why we come before you today in celebration and praise and worship. God, you are the one who deserves it all. And so, God, I pray that this morning you'd be honored in our worship as we sing and also as we talk about what you're up to in our lives. God, I pray that you'd be pleased because you're at work here. And so I pray that people be reminded about that and encouraged in some powerful ways today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now before you sit down, I know we've been standing for a minute already, but before you sit down, we've got a question of the day. The question is this: would you say you're more afraid of dentists or spiders?
Oh, dentists.
So share your answer to that with someone. Maybe share your name, too. You probably don't know everybody's name here.
Dentists.
Share that, and the preschool kids and below are dismissed to nursery if they would like to do that today. All right. So I think I would have to say spiders, probably. I don't mind dentists too much. I know they have my good in mind, so I'm okay with that. Why did I ask that question as our question of the day? Every Sunday we have a question of the day. Why did I ask that question? Well, the reason I asked it is because in some surveys, it's not the fear of spiders or dentists that rises to the top. It's the fear of speaking in public. And today's testimony day. So I'm asking some of you to do something that's like the number one fear in some surveys, in of all fears. So just kind of throwing that out there, give you some time to prepare yourself. All right, this is something that makes people nervous, just about everybody. I've been doing it every single week for a long time. I've gotten used to it somewhat, but it's still to stand in front of people and to be prepared, to be ready to share something that means something is a little nerve-wracking. So I'm going to give you a little break. I'm going to talk for a few minutes first, but I promise my message today is going to be really short. It's going to be more of a testimony. And as I'm doing that, I know you can do two things at once sometimes. If you grabbed a program on your way in, the notes section is pretty much blank. So if God brings something to your mind, you want to take some notes about it. As I'm blabbing up here, talking, you're welcome to take some notes. Hopefully I won't be blabbing. But you can take some notes to kind of get your thoughts together.
But I have a couple of goals in why we're doing this. We don't often just have a testimony day. So a couple of reasons why I want to do that. And one is, the big reason is, several of us have been reading through the New Testament this year. And we've reached the halfway point. So a bunch of people at Cornerstone have read half of the New Testament so far this year, which is great, which is really, really good. It's fantastic. Some of you are reading other parts of the Bible, or you're on a different pace, and that's fine too. But the question that we want to think about is this: how is my time in Scripture changing me? Whether you're reading through the New Testament or whatever you're doing, how is your time in Scripture changing you? And usually change doesn't happen in massive doses. You don't read your Bible and everything changes. That's just not usually how it works. Sometimes massive change happens, but most often it's in little tiny steps, which means if you don't stop and look at it, you may not even notice it's happening. And so we want to stop and give you a chance to stop and think, okay, what is God doing in my life? Kids who are growing don't realize they're growing unless they're in a crazy spurt and all their joints hurt. And so maybe spiritually all your joints hurt because God has been doing something in your life, perhaps. But if it's small, sometimes you just have to stop and think about it and look at it. And in a way, it's not necessarily bad that you don't notice, as long as God is changing you. But it's also really encouraging when you stop and think and say, whoa, I can see evidence of God working in my life. That's encouraging for you and for other people who hear it. So I have two purposes this morning. One is that so those of you who are being changed by God can stop and think and notice and really celebrate that and say, thank you, God. And the second reason is because God is not working in everybody's life. And if you're here or watching online and you can't see any way that God is working in you, then maybe hearing other people's stories will make you hungry for that. And maybe that'll make you want to start doing some of those things that invite God in, because he doesn't force himself. So whichever place you're at, hopefully you're encouraged today, and feel free to take some notes in your program from what other people share or from what you might want to share. So I'm going to share one thing, and it's going to be much shorter than my normal sermons. I promise you that, but it's probably longer than I think. So how am I seeing God changing my life right now? Because I'm in the same level with all of you. I read the Bible, and he needs to change my life too. And so I'll open the floor in a couple of minutes, but number one way God is changing me right now is in how I pray. How I pray. The most recent stops on our New Testament journey have been in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, these quick books that we read the whole book in a week sometimes. And these short letters from Paul just have some really great prayers in them. Really, really good prayers. And Paul just kind of stops, and whether it's the Philippians or the Ephesians, he just says, here's what I'm praying for you. This is what I'm praying for you. And it made it into the Bible. And these prayers are so transferable. It's not just, okay, so we listen into somebody's prayer life from 2,000 years ago. Like, why do I care about that? Well, these prayers are really transferable. And if they made it into the Bible, like the place where they are, these letters to the churches, these are some great things to pray. So God is kind of starting to change how I pray in some ways. And I'll just share a little bit of what I saw these last couple weeks. Ephesians 1:16, Paul's praying, and he says to the Ephesians, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? So that you may know him better. And as I read these letters, as Paul shares his prayers to all these different churches, the thing that just rises to the top over everything else, what I want for you is to know God. That's what I want. I want you to know God. It all comes back to that. It's what Paul wants for himself. Philippians, he says, I consider everything loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things, given up all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Paul wants people to know God. And we're not talking about praying the sinner's prayer and breathing a sigh of relief. I'm not going to hell now. Whew. That's good. That's important. But it's more than that. This is more than facts about God. This is more than acquaintance with God. More than friendship with God. The way Paul thinks about it and what he prays for these people, he wants God to be the friendship. The most intimate relationship you have. Not that you don't have any other friends, but this, God is your friend. And as I was thinking about that and seeing that in these prayers, I was reminded of an illustration that John Eldridge shared in his book, Get Your Life Back, which I'm reading a second time in the same year. It's just been really powerful for me. So he used an illustration, and I want you actually to do this, okay? Listen to the instructions and do what it said. It won't hurt you, and it won't be embarrassing. Nothing bad will happen. Here's what he says. Press your palms and fingers flat together like someone praying. Okay? Hands together, palms and fingers flat together like someone praying. I'm not going to trick you into doing anything here. Your left palm represents God and your right palm you. This expression, I would say, is an expression of genuine intimacy. You and God are close. When your hands are together like that, your hands are close. And that's you and God. So now, while your palms remain pressed together, fold your fingers downward so the fingers of both hands become intertwined. All right, this isn't too complicated. Kids can do this too, right? Well, let me see it. Let me see it back there. You got it? There we go. Zach? Yes. All right, we got this. This is an expression. Evan, you got it? You got it? Okay. This is an expression of deeper union, where your being and God's become intertwined. This entwining, this interlacing, is what the hidden roots of the forest do. And he talked about the forest and that earlier in the chapter. It might surprise some readers to hear me say this, but we are after much more than faith. Even more than intimacy, we are after union, oneness, where our being and God's being become intertwined. I don't know if that's how you think of it. You can release your grip now. Thank you for participating in that with me. But is that what you have with God? That's what we're going for. That's what God wants with us. That's what we want with him. I don't have this all the time. I mean, sometimes I feel this way with God, but not always, for sure. So think about it. Think about this side of it. Is there any person in your life that you hold hands with like this? Is there any person that, this is an intimate handhold. I don't know if that's just our culture, but it is. And there's only one person in my life that I hold hands with like this. That's my wife. Anne's the one. She's the one I share intimacy with more than anybody else. And it's kind of become a family joke because Ethan, my kids know this. We're the only ones who hold hands like this, nobody else. So sometimes Ethan will sneak up and like slip his hand in mine and try to like work his fingers in there. And he knows like, and I'm like, sometimes I'll play along, like, okay, for about 5 seconds, I'll hold your hand like that. But that, any more than that, that's just weird. But like, he knows that's intimacy, and I want to have that. I want to do that. I want to feel that intimacy. That's the kind of intimacy we're talking about. That's the kind of relationship. That's what it means to know God, to have that kind of relationship with him. And that's what I want. As I spend time in the Old Testament, looking at the history and the character of God as it comes out in the Old Testament stories, that's what I want as I look at the New Testament and the story of Jesus' life and all the things that he's done and then the instructions and things he has for us and what he wants for us, his values, the things that are important to him. It's what I want when I bike up to the Pinnacle every week with a Bible, a notebook, and other great books about faith and just get refreshed and recharged and I work on Sunday messages. It's what I want as I prepare every message for you. I want to know God better. I want to know him more. I want you to know him more. I want you to know him better and experience this. That's what we're made for. Union with God. I want to know the God who made me, the God who sent Jesus to die for me, the God who knows every detail of my life and still deeply loves me. And he wants me to know him too. So in seeing that, I'm just starting to pray that way. That's what I'm praying as I pray for you. That's what I'm praying as I pray for myself, as I pray for my kids. And so I read Ephesians chapter 1 a couple weeks ago, and I just kind of soaked in that prayer for a while, just kind of looking at it and thinking about it, processing what it all means, looking at the different aspects of this prayer as he continues. And I'm not going to share the details, but he talks about the hope that we can have. As we know him more, we grow in hope. As we know him more, we experience his power. As we know him more, we begin to treasure the things that are most valuable and realize what we have. So I just started to pray those things. And just one day, I particularly remember thinking about this, and I just started to pray for all my immediate family, all my extended family. And just praying each of these things. I prayed for my brother and his family, each by name. I prayed for my sisters and their families by name. I prayed for my aunts and uncles, my cousins, and just prayed that they would know God the way he wants to be known. They'd know the hope they can have in Christ, that they would treasure what God says is most important, that they'd experience his power in some awesome ways. And you have to understand, this is me. I pray for my wife and my kids every single day. I pray for the people in this church every single week. Everybody who's part of this church gets prayed for every week. But my extended family, I couldn't remember the last time I prayed like that for my extended family. That's to my shame. Like, why am I not doing that? But it was just a meaningful time to pray this kind of prayer for people that matter to me. So reading Paul's prayers is changing the way that I pray and really convincing me in a fresh way how much knowing God is more important than anything else that I can ask for you or for myself. One more scripture I'll share with you. Then I'm gonna stop. Philippians chapter 3, I started to share this earlier. This is Paul's heart. After he's been transformed by Christ, I mean, he had a very big turnaround in his life, if you know his story. Acts chapter 9, I think you can read about it. But here is what he says. Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. That's what I want for me. It's becoming how I pray for you. One way God's changing me as I'm reading Paul's letter. So what is God doing in your life as you interact with God's word and as you navigate some of the challenges that come at you in life? There are a couple people I know are already prepared and say, I'm thinking, yes, I am going to share. There may be people I don't even know about, and you may be here thinking, boy, I have something I'd like to share. I did express to some of those people, 3 to 5 minutes is kind of our goal, enough time to have something specific, some kind of detail, but also short enough that we can let other people have a turn too. So share what you'd like to share. And I don't know who wants to go first, but what has God been up to in your life? Actually, who wants to go second? Aaron, come on up. I'm going to pull this microphone over for you.
Good morning. So the last few years, whenever someone asked for a testimony time, I kind of took a look at my life and the journey of late and said, there's really nothing important or interesting that I want to share. But also being somebody that doesn't like quiet time and also would like to volunteer for things, I started to take a moment and say, but what really is going on in my life right now? And let me find my place. While this time, Nate kind of talked about maybe talking about the New Testament journey. While this time, I've greatly enjoyed going through the New Testament and have really loved seeing my children interact with it as we read around the dinner table and hearing their thoughts and their questions and their observations has been really encouraging personally. This time wasn't about what was happening in our family. It was kind of thinking about what was happening in my life personally. And Nate, a couple weeks ago, shared about troughs and highs. And I kind of looked at my life and I said, do I have these troughs? Do I have these highs? Am I putting myself into that? And being one to look at things and say, oh no, is he talking about me? Which I've been assured he wasn't. I was like, I don't see that right now. I just see a life of quiet faithfulness and trying to take where I am in my life now and be as faithful with God's calling in raising my children, in being at church and serving. But also at the same time, I caught the end of a sermon online. I don't know who, I don't know where, I don't really even know the full context of what he was talking about. And he quoted Song of Solomon. I was like, Song of Solomon, we don't get anything spiritually from there. but bear with me a minute. And it was Song of Solomon 4:10. And it says, awake, O north wind, and come, O south wind, blow upon my garden, let its spices flow. And whoever was speaking was taking that and saying, this north wind and the south wind are coming and moving around these plants and spices. And that may not be the thing that's going to keep the flower beautiful or the thing that's going to keep that spice in its perfect pod, but that's going to allow that aroma to be let up and brought to God. And that really just started between those two things, a prayer in my life, a prayer to have my eyes open to, where was it? Sorry, a prayer to have my eyes open to God moving, a prayer that I might recognize his power and actions in my life, whether those be big or small, a prayer that I will be moved to action by the Holy Spirit in little things and in big things, a prayer that my life will be full of faithfulness and in the mundane and in the extraordinary. So, thank you.
Thanks, Aaron. Linda.
Okay.
Sure.
All right, thank you. Good morning. It's good to see all these new faces here. Welcome. When Pastor Nate offered to give us an opportunity to give testimony about what the Lord has taught us these past few months, my thoughts turned to the changes in our world. So he's talking about changes God has done in our lives, and my thinking was also how life has changed so much lately. It's changed in our nation, it's changed in the world, it's changed in our personal lives. And my reflection was what God is reminding me of through these changes. Our world today is in a state of darkness, I think, and confusion. Many of our institutions and many of our leaders are failing us, and we have this sense that what's going on. And I know that each one of you, and myself included, when we talk to people, we get into this kind of the same conversations, like what's going on. And so even science, which people trusted as a rule, I think, is ever changing. And in regarding the what's going on as far as COVID and everything, There's so many opposing views as to who and what we can trust to keep us healthy. So there's all this change. These changes are causing some people to become depressed and lose hope for the future because they can't depend any longer in their bank accounts and in their possessions to give them security. What I know and what I've been reminded of these past few months more than ever is that our hope can only be built on God and His wonderful promises to us. In Malachi, we learn God says, I am the Lord your God who changes not. So that we see all these changes in the world and in our personal lives too, but God doesn't change. And that gives us this firm foundation that we need to live our lives on. So I'm so thankful that we have a Father in heaven who knows everything that's going on, and we can trust the one who never changes in this dark, confusing world.
Amen.
In John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Those who follow me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So we have a choice between darkness and light. Jesus gives us light. The world gives us darkness. Jesus offers us true life, eternal life with him, and a life that's worth living here on the earth. He gives us purpose, and he gives us hope, and I'm thankful that he gives those to us. In 1 Peter 2:9 to 10, he tells, Peter's talking to believers in Jesus, and he says the following: You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special people, so that you may proclaim the praises of Jesus who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You, who were once not a people of God, but now are a people of God. You who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So God is good. He's on the throne, and he knows everything that's going on. And I believe he reminds us this every day that we hear the news.
Amen. Put this up a little bit. You're on.
Good morning, Cornerstone.
Good morning, Rick.
Good. I had a plan for what I was going to say today. I was going to get like this whole song and dance thing together, but I forgot that life was coming at me this week. There it is. And so what I did instead, when my wife reminded me last night that I was going to be giving a testimony today, is I started thinking about, just since it's our anniversary today, by the way.
Ooh, all right.
God bless my wife. 12 years in. And so I just started thinking about all the stuff we'd been together, and I thought, well, why not just make a list and see where that takes me for the past 12 years, all that's been going on. And this is a very abbreviated list. There's a lot more I could have put on there. But just looking back on the past 12 years, I have seen God work in so many incredible ways in our life. In my kids' lives now. 12 years ago, I didn't have kids. Now I have two of them, and they're mostly well-behaved, and just lovely to have them in my life and be shepherding them. So I'm just going to run through a list here quickly. I'll, like, pepper it with some stuff, and then I'll share how Nate was sharing at the start, how is my time in Scripture changing me with this New Testament journey, because we have been doing our best to follow and keep up to date with that. 12 years ago today, I said I do. Smartest decision I ever made. And my wife, in a moment of weakness, also said I do. And she's been paying for it ever since. But our kids coming into the world was just a complete blessing. And the fact that my wife is even still here and I'm not a widower is a complete blessing. Zach was a C-section. He is a behemoth. If you feel okay with it, stand up, Zach. You might want to guess at his age. How old do you think?
21.
Yeah, he's 21, yes. He is 9 years old. He's going into fourth grade. Most people think he's in middle school. So he was close to 10 pounds when he came out. He was breached. They had to do a C-section. That went well, right? You know, C-section. She healed up fine. Juniper's birth, then my daughter, was complicated by that. And won't get into all the gory details, but basically the doctor, surgeon who was in charge of it, said that these things, the issue that my wife and Juniper had in years previous, would turn into a bloodbath, and they would lose a lot of these mothers. And so we were just completely blessed to be here, where they actually are on the cutting edge of the issue. And two surgeries later, because it tore my wife up, and she's got massive scar and everything, we are just so blessed that my wife is still here and that my kids can know her growing up. And it seemed like a big mountain kind of thing at the time, and it was. But where I can't do anymore and where doctors can't do anymore, you know, God provides, and I totally saw that there. We were in North Carolina when we got married. Just being here was not planned, right? We both grew up in Bucks County, not too far from here, out of North Carolina, and it was a pretty clear sign from God that we were supposed to come back up north when I got two job offers in one day, which was my birthday, actually, go figure, in 2013. I'll never forget that day. I'm still here, obviously, still love my job. I've been through a lot professionally. I'm a teacher. So I'm sure you guys have heard a lot about what teachers are going through and the hybrid and what students are going through and parents and just everybody in general. Church family here, I felt very rooted. I felt very supported. Had options there too, you know, and just a lot of prayer. And I can see, looking back, that we were led here. It's not like this was some kind of mistake or some kind of colossal happenstance. I'm supposed to be here. Truly believe that. My wife has been back and forth working at Dorney. She had a number of different jobs there. They let her go, their loss, and now she's working at a library. She's actually trained as a teacher. She's in charge of the children's, I was going to say ministry, it's not a ministry so much, the children's, what is it called?
Program.
That's a simple word. Children's program. She does all that stuff now. And so I just really see how it's just come full circle. She did a great job at Dorney. You know, it's their loss, but I'm so very happy to see her working with kids, interacting with them like that again. I'm noticing that I'm coming up on 5 minutes, I think, already. That was fast. this is my favorite for me personally, finances. Everybody likes control over things, right? And I was working hard, my wife was working hard, and our finances were just, I wouldn't say out of control because we were paying our bills, but we had a lot of student debt, like a lot. I didn't do all the math. I kind of, you know, ran through it in my head. I'm a German teacher, not a math teacher, so this is approximate. $90,000 was our student debt 3 years ago. Right now we have just over $3,000, and we're going to pay it off by the end of the summer. And it was not God who changed. It was this guy, right? I prayed a prayer. Amber was there for it. She was all tensed up, like, what are you doing? Where I said, dear Jesus, you're going to fix this or I'm done with you and money. Not with you, right, but with your idea of money. Right? I'm just going to spend how I feel like spending because it's not working out anyway, right? And it was this right here, my heart, that needed changing. And I'm so, so glad, looking back on it, that he did not answer that prayer and that he waited for me to recognize that I am Rick, he is God, he's got it. Yeah, and surgeries, there's one of them. Another one is my shoulder. I have no appreciable cartilage left in it. I had a whole bunch of bone spurs. I'm still pretty sure, they didn't tell me officially, but I'm pretty sure I set the record, 100 plus bone spurs in the shoulder. They're sweeping them off the floor of the OR, and I can still use it. I can do this, right? I wasn't sure I was going to be able to do that. I can put my arm behind my back. I couldn't do that before. This thing here, I don't know, this is still kind of fresh. You can see there. That's all the farther I can move my thumb for now. I'm just going to trust because I can look back on my life and see that these things, they work out. I'm not fixing things. I don't have the control, but God does. And I definitely want to share this too. The past year, I guess, year and a half, we've lost, my wife and I have lost three grandparents. I've got another one, my paternal grandfather, who's, you know, looks like he's on his way out. But as far as we can tell, at least five out of the six of our grandparents who have passed are with the Lord. We'll see them again someday. And my one, we were really not sure about him, but we got down there, I think it was 5 days before he passed. And my two of my brothers, so three of us, I have one brother who couldn't make it, and my mother were down there. And we were just like, how are we going to approach this? What are we going to say to him? How is this going to go? We really just, like, number one focus is he needs to know Jesus. And the first thing he asked for, my opa, when we were down there, is for us to come in there and pray for him. And he heard we were there, and that was his first request. And there were a lot of tears, a lot of, I mean, he was, you know, on his way out, but he woke up. He was like, amen, yes, Lord, please, I'm a sinner, all that stuff. And it was just so incredible to see that. Cool. So I think I've hit my quota here. Again, just little bits and pieces, some of the bigger points, I think, from my journey these past 12 years. And I wanted to share, this is from, I believe it was the last verse, or last chapter from this week in our journey, Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. I like the little note they have there where it's instead of elemental spiritual forces, it says the basic principles. So basically just trusting what you see around you, right? This is, I mean, sure, you could say doctors healed my wife, right? Science is advanced and stuff. And, you know, if you do the right thing with money, eventually it works out. But looking back on it, I have no perspective right now other than Christ was there with me. I try to do my stuff. I try to control things. And I've seen time and again how it works out when I think that I'm the boss. And it just doesn't. It just has not worked out. And I'm so grateful to have a loving God who watches over me, who even when I'm saying, you know, you're going to fix my money or I'm done with you a little bit, he just, I don't know what he did exactly, a little eye roll, or you just wait a couple years, you'll see, Rick. I'm just so, so very thankful. And so for me, how is my time in Scripture changing me? It's how I seek to control. The life is out of control. We see it in so many people. You know, people, I just read an article this morning, I guess it was, about people going to Maui and screaming at lifeguards and things, just like, you need to wear a mask or please social distance. And like, what, you're in Hawaii, it's beautiful. You can actually get to the beach, right? This is a good thing. Why are you screaming at people? They don't feel like they have control. And they don't, you know? That's the illusion. We don't have control. But there is someone who does. And that's where I'm going to put my faith. And I'm just looking forward to seeing how it all works out. That's the perspective.
Amen.
That's what I got.
Thank you. Anybody else want to share? It's open to whoever would like to.
Do you want me to share anything?
You may.
I'm Jackie, and I'm from Fort South Carolina. And this past week has been really hard for my family. I was just praying the other day that I would see my Grammy again, but she didn't make it. But I had told her I was going to Florida next year for Team South Carolina to do tennis. And all this week I just kept praying about things, you know, how precious life is, and you don't know much, how much time on earth, and people just tell you that Jesus is there for you, no matter how good or bad times are. You can change your life as long as Jesus is with you to save your life, because he saved my life.
Amen.
He saved everybody's life. And when I tell people about Jesus, they're thinking, oh, they're like, oh, Jesus came to you. I say, yes. And if you read the scriptures, it tells you everything about Jesus mm-hmm. and how he lived for us and how he passed away for our sins. Mm. And I didn't get to do the scripture part, but just keep praying each day and be there for one another, no matter if it's hard or good.
Hmm. Amen.
And be with your family and friends. They might have something that they can tell you. Or just, you know, go outside and have fun with your family. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie. There you go.
You're welcome.
Anybody else? Not going to force anybody to share, but if the Holy Spirit's pushing on you, I don't want to push against that. Last call. All right. Well, I'm always encouraged to hear what God is doing. And there are many more stories that went unshared today. And share those with other people you know as God gives you opportunity. And there may be more sharing time. Actually, two of my kids, Abby and Joanna, just got back from Summit Student Conference. And so I'm going to ask Abby right now. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. No, but I believe Joanna will be sharing something in a couple of weeks that God was up to in their time down there. And a group of students is heading up to Word of Life Camp right now. So I want to pray for them. And I just lift up the rest of this time in prayer. And we're going to close out with a song and just kind of focus our attention on God and praise him for what he's doing, what was shared. But really for his goodness, like Jackie shared, that he is there and we can know him. And we can receive the help that we need. And really, her testimony and mine together kind of really come together to know him more. That's what he wants. And so it's good to hear all of the things that you guys shared. But let's pray for those campers. God, I thank you for summer camps and opportunities for students to get away from the normal and to get in a different place and be challenged and encouraged and have a lot of fun. But really be exposed to who you are in a fresh way. So God, I pray this morning for Ethan, my son, for Camden, for Nick, and for Evelyn as they are on their way to upstate New York. God, you have plans and ways you specifically want to work in their lives. And so as people share today what you've been up to, God, there are new stories being written. There are new stories going to be written this week, and you are constantly writing new stories. So God, help us to have hearts that are open to that, open to what you have for us. You are good. You've always been good. And so Lord, help us to trust you deeply, to walk with you closely, and to know you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, before we go to the next song, we'll just have some next steps time. So for you to just think about, there's a slide, I believe, Shannon. Just take 1 minute to stop and think about what would be your next step as we've thought about some different things today.
Thank you.
All right, we have one more song here. Just turn your attention towards God. Give praise to him for what he's been up to. But this song's called Great Are You, Lord. Lift your voice to him. You can stand, you can sit, whatever you want to do, but as long as you lift your voice up to God.
We pour out our praise to you only.
Amen. Amen. He is truly great. Shannon, come on up. Thank you for joining us in song and in testimony today.
Good morning. If you didn't get a chance, the next steps are on the back of the program, so take a look at that. It's not too late to join the New Testament journey. There's a guide on the back table if you would like to pick that up and follow along, or it's available on our website. You can download. Also, on the inside of your program is this little thing you can tear off. You can fill out your information if you'd like to stay in touch with us at Cornerstone, or you can share a prayer request, and that goes directly to P-Nate. Home group started up last Tuesday. They are happening for the next 2 months, July and August session. They're on Tuesdays at 6:30. We have three groups going. Excuse me, ladies group, and then two Tuesday night groups with Rick Herlin or Nate Herlin. So you can get in touch with P-Nate if you would like to join. Also, on August 8th, we're having a baptism service that's going to be at the Kutztown Pool. And afterwards, we are going to have a picnic at Linda's home. Thank you. And there's a sign up on the back table if you would like to come sign up. And if you want to bring something, there's a place to sign up for that too. So we hope that you'll join for that. It's exciting. We're going to have three new members of Cornerstone joining us that day. That's all for today. You're welcome to hang out in this room until 10:15, and then we can hang out downstairs if you'd like to continue to fellowship. Thanks for joining us today, and have a wonderful day.
Sing hallelujah to the Lord.